All right, we're back. All right, one of the people you talked about, Silkworth, you talked about Bill. What about Marty Mann, 1951? That was after the time she had already, she had started the Yale School of Alcoholism.
Well, right? The Yale School of Alcoholism was sometimes mentioned or talked about in there. Most people, I don't know how long Yale had it at that time. I do believe that they had it a total of 7 years. They just burned out, washed out. And I think Rutgers University picked it up after that.
That's right.
And may even still have it. But originally, I think some of it came out of the Johns Hopkins program, the 44 questions. So I didn't know about her involvement in it, knew nothing about Marty's professional background. She was an attractive person. She seemed to know an awful lot of people, and especially in that group, in the Lenox Hill group. But because of my AIDS, there was anybody that I was going to have anything in common with in terms of being able to socialize with them and so forth. So it wasn't that I was looked on as an empty spittoon or something. The fact is that I was not, except for the fact that I had Seal and Mansfield Fulner as my sponsors, that was also my breakthrough. It also acknowledged credibility for me and my illness, disease. I'd also taken the questionnaire of the 44 questions and answered a lot of them, and it was obvious that I was a drunk.
Yeah.
But I didn't know her. We did have the only social kind of contact that we had for the most part in those meetings, although this is apart from the question about Marty Mann. Undoubtedly, she was at some of these events. We would go from at least that particular meeting on 90th and 5th Avenue. It was nice that we'd go down to Schraff's, which was a very nice restaurant, but it was also known for sandwiches, but sort of tea sandwiches, mm-hmm. and also for their ice cream fountain facility. So we would go there to have a sundae or something after the meeting. But that was what people would do after the meeting. And there you would have some kind of a fellowship of some sort.
Yeah.
But you never had, in my case, it was absolutely not the case of having a deep personal relationship, such as maybe being invited to a home to have dinner, except for the one that I had with my sponsor, Seal and Mansfield, which was a dinner at their home, mm-hmm. under the guise of then taking me to meet some friends of theirs. You didn't know anybody's last name for the one part, unless you became a bridge partner there or something, to have a further fellowship.
So there was anonymity within the fellowship
then,
not just in the public relations, not just at the public level.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. But it wasn't just because of that anonymity factor. It was that if you don't have a good chemistry with somebody who might be your same age and in the same industry and so forth, you would think that there are those things that kind of jive. But if you don't particularly care for that person, or the mannerisms of that person, or maybe they're too boastful or too loud or something, even though all of those things, other things may fit, if that doesn't fit, you're not going to be socializing with that person.
Yeah.
Later on in 55, getting to know Bill and getting to see more of our meetings at the Manhattan group, it was hi there, hello, or this is Bill, it was just passing kind of comments. I know that he was concerned about me because he would talk to Mansfield owner about me, even after I moved to Chicago in 55, or to Mary McMahon, who was a legend in AA in those days, particularly the intergroup office. And so she was like a mother to me, mm-hmm. in the fellowship. And her husband, Arthur C. McMahon, was a very prominent lawyer in New York, who also was Ivy League, just like Mansfield Fulmer was. They were great friends. And I have letters at home, even from him, after Mary McMahon died of cancer. But these are people that I did get to know, and last names, etc., and good fellowship with. But also, I was maturing, and I was staying sober, and so forth. So I wasn't the oddball that I might have been when I first came in.
When you talk about these, are you talking about 1951 and 1955?
55, yeah.
Is it mainly 55 and onward, or?
55 onward is when, that's when I had my last drink, was August 8th.
But you came in 51 for a few, 6 weeks or so?
6 weeks. I was the longest I had, I think I once figured out, it was the longest sobriety I had since I was 14.
Were you in and out between 51 and 55, or was it six weeks? And
No, actually it's a guy, his name, he was the guy that I think I may have mentioned someplace along the way when my talks about going home from a young people or a newcomer's meeting, and the guy continually getting on my case, telling me I wasn't a drunk, and you know, so forth. That was the guy named Morgan Ryan. And I've now received, and by the way, that finally did get to me, because after one of those, this was during the first 14 weeks, you know, of sobriety, not 14 weeks, but it was 6 weeks altogether about being sober. And so, I don't know, it would have been 42 days or so. But that's the longest I had since I was 14.
Yeah.
But going to those meetings on Monday night at Lenox Hill, this guy, for some reason or another, would often be at those meetings, and he was. And then when I tell my sponsor the next day, because I also worked in the same law department, and I was a law clerk.
Yeah.
And I would tell him about what happened the night before, because he'd ask me, did I go to a club meeting, did I go to the meeting? He wouldn't go to that Monday night meeting, but he would ask me. And I'd say, well, I said, the guy Ryan, he got to me again. And my sponsor used to say, he's just jealous that he didn't get it at your age. Well, that was maybe apropos, but it wasn't certainly healing the wound, you know. But he's the guy, and then finally that one night I figured, you know, the hell with it. And I went home and I had tears in my eyes, and I never knew how to cry. But that night I walked home to, you know, East Harlem where I was living, in further answer to your question of what happened 51 to 55, I went out again. I slipped, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that they would say from that dais, when the secretary of the group would usually make the comment along the lines of to welcome a newcomer that might be at that open meeting, that if you're here and so forth, that this is that we are dealing with a disease, something to that effect, that will certainly kill you, or you will wind up in jails or in institutions or sanitariums and those jobs, etc. And all of that happened. I mean, it wasn't that they had a crystal ball. So I went out not to prove anything, but I just, my drinking pattern became so violent and so destructive that all of those things began to happen to me. So I went out, and I came back after about a year, and my mother was crying and hurtful, and I know that I was hurting her, and so I'd come back to AA, everybody, and then it was another year later, and I came back again because I had a sentence over me because I was arrested for assault and robbery in the first degree. I was already out on bail in Grand Larson. And I got shot up by the cops at the Bronx in New York. I was using antabuse. First, the drug just came out just before that time. And that drug was a large pill, and you had to carry a card in your pocket. Like a postcard, and it was framed in cellophane or something.